Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes again, wherever that you're at, just lifting up the name of Jesus, just telling the good news about the Lord around the world. So if you want to be a part of this, call in on 310-742-1759. Call in. We'll put you right on the line with us here. And reaching the world for Christ. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, just trying to tell the good news about Jesus. So call in there. It's on 310-742-1759. So we'll just put you right in here with us on the line. So I've got some prayer requests here that I want to make known and let Betty read them to you. So you just take them to the Lord and pray for them.
We've got Bob and Clara Hicks that's needing healing in their body, 94 years old. We've got Kay Hurd and Marilyn Ledford that have cancer. John Samples had a fall this week and hurt himself, so let's lift him up tonight. Dan Corden still needs prayer and salvation. Curly Roberts' family, let's remember them. He passed away this week. And Pat Cheek's husband burned up in a fire this week. Let's remember all of them. Let's remember all of the saved, all the listeners. Let's remember Don Antico from the Philippines that's had a mild heart attack and is in the hospital. And we're believing no matter what the circumstances that God is going to supply all their needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Father,
we come to you, Lord, and asking you, God, that you'll just reach down, Lord, that you'll just touch them. Father, each and every one of the requests, God, that you just touch them. Lord, that you will save them, sanctify them, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, that you will heal them that's sick and afflicted. And God, make them whole, Father. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, God, in Jesus' name, for what you're going to do here tonight, God. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you want to be a part of this service tonight, well, go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759. And we'll put you right on the line here with us, and we'll just have a great time in the Lord. So I think this time I'll go back to Tim and let him play us a song there. I guess we'll just go ahead and play the one of Brother Chico over in the Bahamas. In the Philippines, I meant to say. I'm sorry.
was designed. I was created, fearfully made by you. You brought me here, here in this generation, to give glory to your name. Your name is exalted, your name is heard, your name is lifted all over the earth. Your name is exalted, your name is heard, your name is lifted all over the earth. And we sing glory to your name. Here in your presence I am renewed. I can hear the angels sing. You caught my heart, touched by unfailing love, to give glory to your name. Your name is exalted, your name is heard, your name is lifted all over the earth. Your name is exalted, your name is heard, your name is lifted all over the earth. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, King of all kings. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, King of all.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to have Brother Don Antico from the Philippines singing a song for us. He's the one that has had a heart attack, a light heart attack. He's in the hospital right now, so just keep remembering him and praying for him. And we got a call in here, 937. Go ahead and come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hi, Brother Yearwood. It's Sister Green, Brother Green here. Just checking in with you and going to enjoy the good word of God.
Amen. Well, you just hang in there and we'll get these girls up here, then we'll get you up there to obey the Lord.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. So go ahead there.
Psalms 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous and mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that word. Now, Stephanie's going to be a singing here for us.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God, he set me free. Now I'm climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God, he set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Naught of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God, I'm going free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, and glory to God, he set me free.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. We got a 770. Go ahead and come in here and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Lloyd. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia. We just wanted to give the Lord praise and glory tonight, and we just thank for the opportunity to be there with you tonight.
Amen. We sure glad that you're in here with us tonight. How's that hand doing?
It's doing great. A little sore. I just want to give a testimony. I know all of you were praying for me and went into work this morning. What had happened, I fell yesterday at work, and that concrete doesn't give too well. When it didn't give too well, it started swelling up on me real bad and started hurting real bad. Scraped up both my knees, my left arm, my right wrist and arm. I sort of put it out to sort of break my fall, and when I did, all those other things, you know, started hurting right away, and then they went away. But then my arm and right arm and my whole arm and wrist started swelling. And prayed, and we prayed all last night and called you, and I know you put me on a miracle, and all of you were praying for me. And went to work this morning, and the back of my hand was real swollen, and started my work, and I have to use a hammer, and I'm working with 60-gauge steel rebar and having to adjust it, and, you know, use my hands all day long, both of them, and I went to start adjusting those, and my job runs real fast. It's super fast, and you don't have time really to do anything. You can't miss a beat, so went in there this morning, and it was real swollen real bad, and then a couple of guys said, well, you going to try to work with that? And I said, yeah, and went over there, and the first few things adjusted and hit with a hammer, and I said, well, Lord, I can't do this, but Lord, you can do it, and all these people are praying for me. By the grace and mercy of God, I got through the day and didn't get behind and made it through the day, so I just want to praise the Lord that what he's done for me today. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We appreciate that. Yeah, we put you on Miracle Valley Prayer Line last night. 423, go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Hey, it's Brother Pettis. I thought it might be Brother Larry. I told him about this, and he was supposed to call in. I didn't know whether it'd be him or not, but I appreciate that testimony. That man meant to work, don't he? Amen.
Amen.
They won't work with a good hand, they'll only bad hand. But anyway, I thank the Lord for you and this radio station and what it means and what it's doing. And the old devil don't like it, I know, but we need to give him a black eye every time we get a chance. And this is giving him a black eye, praising our Lord and holding up our Jesus' bloodstained banner. And I thank the Lord that I'm on my way home. And this ain't home here, and we don't want to get too adjusted. We don't want to have problems and things, but we want to have We're going to have trials and tribulations, but the Lord will take us through it just like he did the apostles of old. And we just have to hang in here and keep on, keeping on, keeping on. So just remember my family, Brother Yearwood. I've got them scattered around. I got one in Missouri. I talked to him today, and he's doing good and everything. But anyway, just remember all my boys, that God will touch them, bless them, and save the ones that need to be saved. And I thank the Lord that what Jesus has did for the world, he died for all. And, you know, he's not just one respecter of person, it's for all. And I praise God for that. So I'll get on, let somebody else get on. And I enjoyed that little gal saying a while ago.
Amen. She's getting better all the time, ain't she?
All the time, yes, sir.
Amen. We've got a revival schedule coming up here, so we're going to let Sister Betty give the announcement and tell you where it's at and everything. And everybody needs to come out and be in this service. I believe God will really bless you. So go ahead there.
I just want to say it's good to be back on Blog Talk Radio, and I just thank God for what he's done, for what he's going to do. And Evangelist Bobby Johnson and the Crusade team will be in Loudoun at the Loudoun High School Auditorium, 1039 Mulberry Street, Highway 11, Loudoun, Tennessee, 37774, Saturday night, April the 13th, at 7 p.m., and Sunday, April the 14th, at 2 p.m. Come and be blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. So, Brother and Sister Green, since you called in first, I'll go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Hey, can you hear me, Brother Yearwood?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
All right, I'll just read a little something. I'm thankful to be forgiven tonight. I think that's what the program's on,
yes.
How the Lord has forgiven us, and it'll be pertaining to that as far as I know. And just good to know that my sins are under the blood, that Christ died for me, and that I'm on my way to heaven, and that there's only one way, and he is the way, and he's the Lamb of God, you know. And I'm just so thankful. Let me read a verse of scripture here. I won't hold long. It's in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, and it's the 21st verse. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times." It was a question. Jesus saith unto him, "I say unto thee, until seven times, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." And I also want to go on to the 23rd verse. It says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Well, I want to say today that I'm glad that Jesus had compassion on me.
Amen.
You know, I owed a debt I could not pay, and I was a debtor. And, you know, I couldn't pay that debt. There was no way I could pay that debt. I didn't have enough money to pay. You can't pay for your sins. You can't buy your way into heaven. You know, you can give to help the church, and that's a good thing. The Bible said, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And as we give, the Lord will give back. It opens the windows of heaven. But, you know, it won't buy us into heaven, praise God. You know, it'll bring us a blessing if we give somebody a cup of water in the name of the Lord, and, you know, we give something to the Lord. Well, it'll prosper us. It'll open the door for a blessing. And, you know, the world don't know that today. They think, you know, that the church just wants their money. And but, you know, it takes money to build a church, praise God.
Amen.
But, you know, I think a lot of people get offended over the love of money because they want to hang on to their money. But I tell you what, I'm so glad I've given my life to the Lord, and He owns me, and He owns my money, too. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. I was a debtor. I couldn't pay. I couldn't pay for my sins. I could not buy my way into heaven. There was not enough money in this world. If you owned the whole world, everything in it, you could never buy your way to heaven. I'll tell you, somebody bought it. Somebody bought it for us. Somebody paid the price. Somebody was a willing vessel and a sacrifice to God and a mediator between God and man. And that man, Christ Jesus, He paid my debt at Calvary. Praise God. Glory to God. I feel the Lord, Brother Yearwood. I feel the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I tell you. I'm so glad He paid my debt at Calvary. I was a sinner. I was lost and undone on my way to hell. There's a real hell, you know, out there. The Bible says we're going somewhere. The Bible said we're going. You know, you see people driving down the road and you think they're going somewhere. You see people in Walmart. You see people in different places and they're going. Some of them's going to buy gas. Some of them's going to buy groceries. But I tell you, while they're on that road to go to those places, they're on another road, and they're on that road, and one day there's going to be an end to that road, and they're either going to end up in heaven or they'll end up in hell. And if they're not, if they're still a debtor, if they still owe that debt of sin, well, they'll be lost on the judgment day. You know, the Bible said there that the books was open. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in that book was cast into the lake of fire. I'll tell you what, there's fire down yonder. You know, they sing an old song. There's fire down yonder, and I don't want to go. Well, I thank God that somebody bridged the gap, praise God, between heaven and earth. And they made a way that we could escape, praise God.
Amen.
And He paid our debt. He paid it at Calvary, the Lamb of God. I'm so glad. But you know, these two men, one of them, he owed his master. He couldn't pay. He wasn't able to pay. And he said, have patience with me and I'll pay all. You know, I'll tell you, we better have some patience with our fellow man, with the people around us. We better have patience. We don't want to be like the rich man. You know, the Bible said that the rich man fared sumptuously and, he done so good, you know, in this life. But, you know, he wouldn't even give the poor old beggar man a crumb that fell from his table. You know, the world's calling the church a beggar today. A lot of times because the church ain't got the finances to meet the needs a lot of times. And they get a... people come in and they take an offering. But, you know, when we think about that, you know, the world looks at it and said all they want is their money. But, you know, the beggar just wanted the crumbs. And, you know, one day the beggar died. But the Bible said that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
And the rich man died, and the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes. He had all them riches, but he wouldn't even give the beggar the crumbs. Praise God. You know, I'll tell you, the Lord's good today. I'll tell you, we can go out and buy boats, you know, people do, and buy fancy houses and fancy cars and bigger homes and all that. And then when somebody asks for offering, they won't give it. And they think all they want is their money. But I tell you what, unless you're sold out to God, you ain't never gave God much, I'll tell you. I mean, even when you're a Christian, you still, a lot of times, all you're doing is giving him the crumbs. But I tell you, Brother Yearwood, I'm so glad that Christ paid my debt. I'm so glad he did.
Yes.
Praise God. He paid it at Calvary. Glory to God. I'll get off of here, but I just want to throw that in. You know, that rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Lazarus afar off and in Abraham's bosom, and he probably wished that he would have gave that man something. He probably wished he'd opened his arms of love, and he would have distributed some compassion to that man, that he would have gave him what he had need of. And the Bible tells us, and I know I might be a little bit off track tonight, I don't know, but, you know, I feel like going this way with it, praise God, and it's about forgiveness, you know. And that rich man said, I got five brothers, said, send Lazarus to my five brothers. Well, it ain't going to work that way. You know, they've got to hear the gospel and believe the gospel in this life. Or if one rose from the dead, he said they would not believe. And you know, Christ rose from the dead.
Yes, he did.
They still having trouble today believing. They still having all kind of doctrines and different things that they're going to. But I'll tell you, Jesus is the way. He's the only way. And if you want to find out who's the real way, then start preaching Jesus and see how much they like it. See
Amen.
How far you can get without them trying to stop you. That's the one they hate tonight, is the man called Christ. I'm talking
Amen.
About the world. I'm not talking about the Christian. But we're in love with Jesus once we get saved. You know, I fell in love with Jesus. He's
Amen.
He's everything to me, praise God. And I want to do more for Jesus than I've done before, and I want to be obedient to him and just obey him and everything I can. And I don't want to come up short on the judgment day, you know. Bible said one place they were found weighed in the balances and found wanting, and I don't want to be found wanting today. I want to be right with God and have my everything, you know, fixed up with him, praise God. I don't want to go too long, Brother Yearwood. It's good to be with you, but I'm so glad I'm forgiven tonight. I'll turn
Amen.
It back.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
865, go ahead and come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yes, this is Reverend Helen Shaw, dear, and I'm just calling to say I'm so pleased that you are doing what you're doing, proud that you're doing what you're doing, Lloyd. And I'm just thankful that I met you and Betty the other night and had such sweet fellowship with you in your home, with the other pastor that's your dear friend, and before they left to go to that funeral that they went to. And I'm just thankful that there are brothers and sisters out there all over this country that really do, as that little pastor just said that was talking to you, they love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And then when we love our neighbor as we do ourselves, we've got it. We have got it.
Amen.
It's just that simple, because then we will become like little children. We will not put ourselves on a pedestal, but we will love as our Lord and Savior would love. When we fall in love, then we learn and know how to love. And when we fall in love with him, it makes all the difference. He's faithful and he loves us so much. And I thank you for supporting the crusade that's going to take place at the high school in Loudoun County, at the Loudoun High School in Loudoun. And I thank you for being there with us on the 13th and 14th. I thank you, Brother Lloyd, that you and Betty and your son Timothy plan to be with us. And I know there's several other pastors in the Loudoun and Monroe area and Knoxville area that are going to be with us. And I just am so thankful that we're going to have that time together to make a difference. And that's what it's all about, Brother Lloyd. It's our making a difference for our Lord, however we can. And I just praise God for your ministry, for where you're trying so hard to make such a difference, and you are. And I'm glad you're home safe, son.
Amen.
So I know you had a wonderful trip up north, and I know that you blessed many lives, and I know that you made a difference there as well, and I just look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Well, just hang in there. Don't leave. We got 2 hours, and so we still got about an hour and 28 minutes. We got some great preachers on here that's waiting to come on. I'll give this report. We had a five great services up in Ohio. We had one lady that was in the wheelchair. God come down and give her a miracle. She got up and walked there. Her husband was walking real slow and draggy on a walking stick, and God give him a miracle. He started walking real fast.
Thank you,
and
Father.
We had a lady to get saved. Then we had, let's see. There was just a bunch of stuff that God did up there.
That is so wonderful.
Chillicothe, Ohio, and had a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost service over there. So God just really moved and blessed in all the services. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay.
Appreciate
you. Go ahead, Brother John. I want to hear what you have to say, son.
I appreciate that, Pastor. I appreciate that so much. Is Sister Green with Brother Green tonight? Has she had the opportunity to speak, or is the other pastor just spoke? Does she want to speak now? And I can wait. Bible says, prefer
okay.
your brother.
What's Sister Green?
Hey, y'all. Okay.
Hello.
Praise God. Yes, we did. We had a good time. Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood and family was up here. We miss them so much, and we can't wait to be back down there with them to hear Sister Bobby Johnson in that revival. We'll be there for a couple days, and then we have to head back home because we got to come back down to Georgia there in May. So we're looking forward to that, praying for the service, that God would do great things and add souls to the kingdom.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking here, kind of on the same note that my husband was on, and I was thinking about how in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23 says, Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath an ought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, and reconcile to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. And, you know, I was thinking there, Brother Yearwood, how so many times people will have excuses that this one hurt their feelings, or so it might be something small, like maybe the pastor didn't shake their hand, and maybe there's clicks in the
DJ.
Church. And maybe they got hurt because there's clicks in the church, and they didn't feel like, When they go out to eat after church, that they were asked to go, and it kind of gets hurtful, you know. And a lot of times it's because we're not prayed up and not read up and fasted up, and we get a little spirit might get around us and get on us and make us feel like we're no good to the church. But let me tell you something: forgiveness is a powerful thing. And if we just dig a little deeper in our prayer closet, those kind of spirits can't get a hold of us. Like the things when we first get saved, we lay things down for Christ. We don't watch what we used to watch. We don't listen to music that we used to listen to. And there's a growing process in this. And if we can learn to forgive, I mean, us that's been saved 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, we got to grow up in this. Even at an older age, it's not how long you've been saved, but it's how deep you are in God. And, you know, a powerful thing, I was talking about forgiveness. And, you know, a few years back, something happened in my life, and for a long time I couldn't forgive, and it had pertained to my children. And, you know, my children grew up, and right now they're in their early 20s. We got Rachel, that's 9, but I'm talking about the older children it pertained to. And, you know, I needed to forgive something and somebody. And one day I told my husband, let's go over and let's do this, and we're going to forgive. It was a lot of money involved in this. And I said, let's forgive about this. And we went to the person, and we went through some court signing papers, and the person was just totally blown away because years had went by, and we needed to forgive, and we needed to put this all behind us. And we heard that person had
gotten saved.
They had gotten saved. And you know, I thought, well, if they're saved now, all the threats and all the things that in the past, you know, if they're really truly saved, they won't do no harm to us. And so we went, and you know, I'm not boasting on me, and we're talking lots of money here. We're not talking a few thousand. We're talking about $56,000. And you know, that was forgiven, that we wrote off, and we said, how much do you want the balance to be? And I said, 0, and they had me put a big fat 0 on that account. Praise God. And I put a 0 on that account. And don't you know, just a few months later, we got a letter in the mail saying that your daughter will receive money until she's 16 years old. And it's because her daddy had retired and he put in many years at his workplace. And because he's at the age he's at and she's a minor, praise God, made a way for her to receive money. I don't know why I'm telling this. There's power in forgiveness.
Amen.
You something. Oh, praise God. And then the man at the Social Security office, he said, and you know what? He said, if you'll cut down your job down to just a part-time work, he said, and you stay home and take care of your minor daughter, you'll receive the same wage that she gets.
Hallelujah.
16 years old, and I said, God, if you make a way for me to go preach your word, I will go, and we'll take our daughter, and we'll raise her in the church, which we plan to do anyway, if I had to work a full-time job. Then God made a way because we forgave, and it's the power of forgiving, and sometimes they may not receive you. If you go to them and ask for forgiveness, they may not receive that, but your slate is clean. Praise God. We know a woman right now in her 80s, and years ago she planned on retiring and moving back to Kentucky on her land that she inherited from her mother, and planned on living there till her last days. And don't you know, her family went in because they found oil on the land. It was either oil or coal. I can't remember which it was. But she, praise God, lives right next door to me right now. And we've tried to get her to come to church, but she's held all against her family for going to the courthouse, and they were supposed to be religious people, and they took her land from her, and she had bought their part out of their inheritance, so it all belonged to her. And they went to the court, and I tell you, the family was the judge, and the lawyers was the judge, and all the family members was all to do with this court system. And it was a little small town, and they took her farm away from her, and she did not get to go to her retirement place where she planned to retire. And they've all passed away now. They're all dead and gone, and she never did get to make it right with them. And so she has in her mind, she can't be forgiven by God. And we try to tell her the word of God that you can be forgiven.
That's right.
They may have made it right with the Lord, and she may not even know it.
Yes.
And the devil's got her fooled, saying, you can't be forgiven by God because you can't go to them now because they're already dead and gone. But they may have made it right. with God.
Jesus, Jesus.
And then now she is
a big old wall, this old dark spirit.
And she knows she lets my husband and daughter go in and pray with her when she's sick.
Lord, just pray for her.
That God will lift all that off of her. She's just, she's about 86 years old.
God
already
help
lived
her.
Most of her life. If I'm talking to somebody out there, forgive. While you got a chance, go to them before they go to their grave and forgive. It doesn't mean that you have to have supper every night with them.
No.
Barnum, I believe it was Timothy and Paul and Barnabas all just had to split and go their separate ways. Praise the Lord, but they still loved the Lord and they loved each other. You can go and forgive
and
praise God and still do work for God. I tell you, when you head on your pillow at night, God said not to let the wrath, the sun go down on your wrath.
Amen.
Let a soft answer turneth away wrath also.
Mm-mm-mm. That's right. That's
forgive
right.
them. Forgive them so you can move on with God.
We have to be like little children. We have to be like little children. We have to forgive like a little child forgives. We have to let go like a little child lets go. Because if we do not, we will never. He says never. And he's talking to the disciples when he said it. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's bottom line. We have to be in that mindset. All those injustices, those offenses that take place, whatever they are, it's not worth it. It's not worth our eternity. Our eternity is an eternity that somebody said, you take a piece of sand from the sea and travel to the moon and back again for 100,000 miles. I mean, 100,000 years, and you haven't made a dent in eternity. We can't comprehend eternity, but eternity is where it's at for every single one of us as children of God. And we need to know that when our Lord and Savior shed his blood, he shed his blood for our enemies. He shed his blood for those that do injustices. And you know, the Lord said that the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and that we're to love like the Father loves, care like the Father cares, go the second mile over and over. One of the disciples, Peter, said, how many times do I have to forgive? 70 times 7, Lord. Now, that's outrageous. I'm sure he was thinking that blew him right away. You know it did. And he said, in other words, you just keep on forgiving. You just keep on forgiving, because every time you forgive, you grow closer to the Lord. Every time you forgive, you grow stronger in the Holy Spirit and in his love. Every time you forgive, the word of God comes alive to you even more so, and you grow and grow into the individual and person that you were created to be, that you might emanate the love of the Father, the love of the Holy Spirit, the love of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I said too much and I talked. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't talk too much. I got excited about that. But I know that it's speaking to me tonight, because I have an issue in our family where we go the second mile over and over and meet their expenses over and over, and they haven't come to the place whereby they're ready to assume their responsibilities. And every month I'll say, now, Lord, I've paid all those bills one more time. Now, Lord, it's time they stood on their own 2 feet, but heavens to Betsy, they just don't do it. So what do you do? I have to laugh about it, because, you know, this stuff is just that. It is stuff. It's just stuff. And I praise God, if he gives me the opportunity to make a difference again this month, I'll make that difference, because the Holy Spirit would have me to. So when you spoke, you weren't just speaking to all of those that were out there, young lady. You were talking to this old pastor as well. And I know that God's bottom line love for you and I is the love that he had for us, that he shed on us when he sent his son to die for us at Calvary, that rose from the dead for you and I, to make intercession for you and I. Oh, hallelujah, every day of our lives, that we might grow and become more like him.
Woo, glory. God's power.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
He's a good
Praise
God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh, heavens. Thank you, Father. I get tickled when I think about the humor of, you know, my picking up this phone tonight and talking with you this evening. It's so precious because this ministry that you are in, Brother Lloyd, you are making a difference in so many lives, lives that are not calling in, lives that normally do not listen to probably somebody on the television. But for some reason, they're driving down the highway, they've switched their radio on, and they've caught you maybe by chance or whatever, and all of a sudden they hear something, and they stay there, and they recognize,
Amen.
Yes, there is a God. Yes, there is a Savior. Yes, there is a Holy Spirit, and He's drawing me, and I am precious to the heart of the Father, and they will come to that revelation knowledge of the fact that the Holy Spirit is drawing them into that place of relationship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, where they can walk in the might and the power and freedom that God would have them to know that is their heritage in this life as children of God.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
You know,
I hope
I didn't say too much.
You know how the Lord told us the two things, the commandments that we should do is to love the Lord God as ourselves and love our neighbor too as ourselves. And you know, Jesus did just that when he was on the cross. He looked up to the Father and he was reaching out to you and I. And if you reach your hands up to the Father and you reach your hand out to your neighbor and you put those, you put your left hand, you put it up and you take your right hand and you cross over to reach out, that's a sign of a cross. And that's exactly
Amen.
What Jesus did, and that's what we're to do. Praise God.
Amen. Yes.
Man.
Yes. Amen. Pray. Oh, he's good. He is so good, and he loves us so much. It's sometimes almost incomprehensible how much, I mean, well, it is incomprehensible how much he loves us. We can't comprehend it with this little two-by-two that we've got up here we call a brain. We can't comprehend it, the vastness of his love and his mercy and his long-suffering and his patience. And, you know, he loves us, and a lot of folk don't realize that. They feel that that God couldn't love them where they're at. But God does love them where they're at. And Jesus is making intercession for them where they are at. He doesn't expect them to fit into somebody's little box. I never fit there very well, and I don't think, Brother Lloyd, you did either. You know,
Amen.
We didn't fit very well in this little box that somebody conjured up that we're supposed to fit in. No, we fit in the Word. We fit in His love. And His love is so long-suffering. His love is so patient. It doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done, where we've walked. His love is there. It was with us when we walked there, when we made the bad choices we made in life. His love was there. It was always there. He never left us. We are his creation. We are his children. And his son gave his life because he wanted us to know the fullness of the Father's love and the power of the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and sets us in the right, on the right path and in the right relationship with our Father in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother John?
I get excited.
Amen. I do too. Praise him. Brother
good.
John?
Yeah, Brother Lloyd.
Go ahead there and obey the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to bring forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to all of those of you that are listening tonight. We're just believing that God will give you a ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to those that are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Speaking on forgiveness, and tonight we'll be coming out of Acts chapter 26 and also out of Jeremiah and Matthew. Tonight's message is an expected end to receive forgiveness.
and expect it and receive forgiveness. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 26 and beginning with verse 1. As you're turning there, we need to know that this is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul had been incarcerated. He'd been put in prison for his belief.
Amen.
In the belief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he'd come, and at this time there, he was before King Agrippa. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself." You know, Paul was in there because others had spoken for him or against him, and that was what was going on here. You had those that had falsely accused him, amen, just like Satan falsely accused the brethren, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, and now it's come, amen, that Satan has accused the brethren night and day, amen. But now it's come the power of his Christ, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Satan was cast out, amen, and neither was his place found anymore in the place of heaven. And this is what we are speaking about tonight. This is what we're talking about, a warfare that has those that have come against and was looking for that place of forgiveness, looking for that place of compassion, looking for that place of mercy. As they had falsely accused Paul, and even they had come to the place where they wouldn't come and speak against Paul, wouldn't testify against him, because just like Paul and just like Daniel, in the time of Daniel, the Bible says that he had an excellent spirit, that they could find no fault in him. And just as Jesus Christ was examined before Pilate, amen, he said, "I found no fault in him," amen. And just as they were all falsely accused, amen, and to reach out even to the prophet Daniel, the time there, they had to get to, the only way they could get to him was through his God. You know, a true believer tonight, the only way that you can get to him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John chapter 14, verse 6. It was a sad thing when Thomas also Philip, how long they had been with him, and yet they did not know him, amen. You know, we can be with somebody for a long time, but we need to come to know them. The Bible says, "Know them that labor among you." The Bible says here, he said, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently." He was talking about patience there earlier, amen. And he said he knew, he was happy. He said, "I think myself happy." Here was a man, amen, that was incarcerated and in captivity, but he would think himself happy that he was a man that was an expert, amen, an expert in the customs and the things that had brought Paul, amen, to the situation and circumstances that he was in. It says in verse 4, he said, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews." In other words, all the Jews knew the manner of life of the Apostle Paul. All Jews knew, amen, that the way that he lived in that time, amen, as a Pharisee, hallelujah, which the Bible says, which knew me from the beginning in verse 5, if they would testify that after the most strenuous sect of our religion, I heard the Pharisees, he said, if they would testify, but they wouldn't come, amen. They wouldn't testify against him because there was nothing. But they knew him from the very beginning that he lived as a Pharisee. He lived in the most straight religious sect at that time as a separatist. But we find, amen, that by the prophet Jeremiah, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:9-10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, which is a place of confusion, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." God has a reason for when these people were in captivity, Babylon, and in captivity, when they were taken into confusion and scattered, God will come and visit you tonight. I don't care where you're at. You might be in confusion tonight. You might be in captivity tonight. But if there's a promise in the word of God by the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and visit you and perform his good word toward you. Some of you have been waiting for a good word of the Lord. Some of you have been waiting. The Bible says in Isaiah 4,
40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord. And that's not talking about sitting around doing nothing. That's talking about serving and ministering unto the body of Christ. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not faint. You need to know tonight that that God will perform a good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. God wants you to return to the place of forgiveness, church. God wants you to return when you're in captivity in that, when you're in prison, wherever you're at. If you're in a hospital, nursing home, those of you that are in other countries, other nations tonight, I don't care where you're at tonight. There's a God that will come and perform his good work right where you're at. There's a God that will visit you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's coming at amen. There's an expected end for you to receive his forgiveness tonight. The Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Lord Jesus Christ has an end to bring you to. The Bible says that they that endure to the end, they sing shall be saved. The Bible says, I am the beginning and the ending. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. You need to know that he was there in the beginning shall be there in the end. Will you stay with him? Will you hold on to him? Amen tonight. Hallelujah. There's a way of forgiveness tonight, church. You need to know tonight that his thoughts said, I don't care what you've done. His thoughts toward you is peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. He said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and you shall seek me, and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. There's a finding and there's a searching tonight. I want to know tonight and ask him tonight, are you searching for the Lord of forgiveness tonight? And the Bible says, going back to Acts chapter 26, and verse 6, he says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God to our fathers. He was standing there because of the promise of God. Some of you stand in judgment tonight because of the promise of God who's made to the fathers. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to know tonight, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, that not one of his promises has failed. He said, unto which promise are 12 tribes? Instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. In other words, the children of Israel hope to come to that promise. For which hope, said King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. I am accused of this hope that all of them hoped in. But I stand here judge of this promise. Hallelujah. He said, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?
Amen.
The Bible said he knew a resurrection. That's what the Pharisees believed in, a resurrection for the dead. But tonight, you know, it's not about only believing in a resurrection, but do you believe in the resurrection? Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection. When Lazarus lay in the grave, hallelujah, when Lazarus lay in the grave, dead and gone, hallelujah, to the world, he was asleep in Christ. And the Bible says Mary and Martha, those were mourning him. But you know tonight that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they all knew and they all had thoughts. He said, you know that you thought, he said, even you know, it's not a strange thing about a resurrection, that Paul had come to know the resurrection. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He said, not that I've already attained or received the resurrection, but I've apprehended, in other words, I've held on that he is the resurrection. Mary and Martha said, he said, we know that he will rise up in the last days. And Jesus said unto them, and you need to know tonight, when you're in places of death, right now where you're sitting at, right now some of you are in the abode of the dead, some of you are in the places of grave, some of you are in the places of death, amen, and torment, but you need to know tonight that there's a resurrection Lord and Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's standing there to forgive you and bring you out of that tomb, bring you out of those grave clothes. He's telling you tonight to come forth in his forgiveness tonight, because he knows his thoughts toward you, thoughts of peace, to bring you to an expected end, that at the end of your life you will be with him always, even to the ends of the world. The Bible said, in Isaiah 55, verse 8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud. That rain and that water, that rain and that snow, is far above the earth. But it comes down, and what it does, it waters the earth, and brings forth and bud, and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. This water and snow falls to give you, amen, seed that you may sow and bread that you may eat. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. As the rain, as the snow, as the word of God come from heaven and comes into the earth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. You need to know that he sent his word tonight to heal us, church. He sent his word tonight to forgive us. So he was in the beginning, the Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh in that same chapter, and we beheld him as the only begotten glory of the Father, and full of grace and truth. Amen. Forgiveness. You need to know tonight that Jesus Christ is the Father's forgiveness incarnate. Hallelujah. The Bible says he was God manifested in the flesh, appeared unto Gentiles, received in the glory. This promise is also, amen, not only unto the Jews, but it's also to the Gentiles. And the Bible says it's unto your children and men as the Lord, as the Lord our God shall call tonight. And the Bible says, that in 1 Timothy, we won't go there, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it talks about Paul gave the part about him being a blasphemer, being a persecutor, but he said he done this out of ignorance. Aren't you glad tonight for the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he said in verse 9 there, Acts chapter 26, he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Here he was a Pharisee, a straightest sect, his manner of life, amen. He studied under Gamaliel, knew the law, knew the word of God, amen. But he didn't know the God of the word. He didn't know the word, amen, had to come and visit him. And the Bible says, amen, he's talking about here in verse 2, he said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. In other words, he'd done many things in Nazareth. He'd done many things in strange countries. He'd done in strange cities. He said, I also done things contrary to the name of Jesus in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did not shut up in prison. Why do you think Paul ended up in prison at the end of his life? The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
I don't think he ended up in prison because how many people did he put in prison? He ended up being stoned because how many people did he have stoned? Hallelujah. But you know what? Because of the forgiveness of God. Having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He was a false accuser. He added his voice when Stephen the martyr in Acts chapter 7, amen, hallelujah, when he come as Stephen the martyr, amen. A martyr is someone who witnesses unto his death. And that's
amen.
What Paul would do. That's what Stephen would do. Amen. You know, the greatest thing about that was to come, and he was stoned and put in prison. But, you know, at the end of his life, Paul became the same thing that Stephen was. He became a martyr, amen, who gave his life. Amen. And he was a witness. He said, henceforth, there is laid up a crown of righteousness. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up a crown of righteousness, but not only for me, but for all those who love his appearing. You need to know tonight that there's forgiveness and crowns of life that are being laid. God wants to place them on your head tonight if you'll come to that expecting end, the way. But amen, at this time in Paul's life, he said, and I punished him off in every synagogue, verse 11, and compelled them to blaspheme. That means to slander or speak against. And being exceedingly mad against him, I persecuted him even in this strange city. So here he was a persecutor. Here he was causing them to punish them. And here he was, he even compelled them to blaspheme. That
Amen.
Doesn't mean that they did it, but it means that he come against them. While we're on this subject here, God, the Spirit of the Lord dealt with me about this, about blasphemy. While there's forgiveness, there's another side to this, unforgiveness. Turn with me if you would. We're going to go back here, but turn with me if you would in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12.
Amen.
Starting with verse 24. The Lord Jesus Christ had cast out devils. He had
There was one possessed with a devil who was blind to them, could not speak, and he healed them, and that he was no longer blind, and he spake. So now he could see, he could talk, no longer possessed with a devil.
Amen.
And all the people, verse 23, and says, all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Is this not Jesus, the son of David? Verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, same Pharisees, got to remember, straight sect, religious sect, separatists, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They said that that one's possessed. He caused this man to see, he caused this man to speak, and he caused this devil to come out of him by Beelzebub. That's the Lord of the flies. That's the Lord of the dung. In other words, they said, the religious world said, he does it by the authority of the prince of devils.
Amen.
And Jesus knew their thoughts. Aren't you glad tonight for his thoughts are of peace and not of evil? And said unto them, aren't you glad that Jesus knows forgiveness? Aren't you glad that his forgiveness went before them? He knew their thoughts. The Bible says the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, amen, verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner and thoughts of the intents of the heart. I'm glad the word of God knew their thoughts and their intents. And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. What he was saying is that in the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God, it cannot be divided because it will come to desolation or disarray. It will come where this house cannot stand when it's separated and divided. And he said, and if Satan cast out Satan, Satan, the word Satan means slander, Santanus, it means slander or hostile opponent. He is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? In other words, how shall his kingdom stand if he's going to cast out his own people or his own devils? He cannot stand. And he said, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? They said that he, by the prince of God, that their own children was casting out devils. Therefore, they shall be your judges, because you have judged them. What happened? The Pharisees judged Jesus and said, he cast out. Judge not, lest ye be judged. But with the same judgment, they stood by and judged Jesus Christ. You need to know tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that the saints will judge the world. And the Bible tells us in Matthew that the disciples will judge the tribes of Israel. So there's judgments that are set, amen, set in place. But we need to know tonight that the Bible says, but if I cast out devils, in verse 28, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. How many of you know the kingdom of God is at hand? How many of you know the kingdom of God is within you? How many of you know if I cast it out by the Spirit, the rule of God's already here, already in your life. It's coming to you. It's that close. But yet we're proclaiming that this kingdom that has come is being cast out or being driven out or empowered by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, the Lord of dung. He said, or else, verse 29, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? How do you bind a strong man tonight? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, amen, the Bible said Simon Peter had a revelation from the Spirit of God. Whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. The Father is the Spirit. He's seeking such to worship in this hour. There's a place where we need to worship, and it's in the Spirit and truth tonight. But we need to know, amen, how do you bind a strong man? He said, and I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, how do you bind a strong man? You've got the keys, church. You've got the keys. If you've got the Spirit, if you've got the Christ, if you've got the Messiah, if you've got the anointing, if you've got the forgiveness, you have the keys to bind a strong man to spoil his goods.
Amen.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There's a gathering together tonight, church, that is gathering unto the Lord Jesus Christ and unto his forgiveness. He said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy. Remember what I said? That's slander. Slanderous talk shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, against the Spirit, shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, it
Amen,
shall not
brother.
Be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And some of you would ask, why are you giving this to us tonight, Brother John? Because this road of unforgiveness is a place of no return. This road of unforgiveness is a place of no return access. That's why I wanted to tell you that. That's why the Spirit of the Lord wants to tell you that there's a road that you don't. This is a road you don't want to get up on. You never want to say that the works of the Spirit of God is of the devil. That's blasphemy of the Spirit of God. Don't
Amen.
Ever give the devil credit for what the Spirit of God has done. That's blasphemy. That's slanderous speaking. Never go on that road. This, and going back to Acts chapter 26, because this was a road that Saul could have went down. This is a road, and many of you underneath the sound of my voice, don't go down that road. God has a road. There's a king's highway. There's a highway of holiness tonight, and nothing unclean shall enter in. God, the Lord said in his way, he said, I am the way. He is the direction. He is the instructions tonight. He is the forgiveness. Acts chapter 26, verse 13, said, at midday, O king, I saw, let's go back to verse 12. It said, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, he had authority to bring all them back and prosecute them, persecute them, even put them to death. He said, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Church, tonight, God's forgiveness is brighter than the noonday sun. God's forgiveness is shining right. He said, shining round about me and them which journey with me. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus Christ, aren't you glad tonight that the light is shining around you, the light of forgiveness, amen? He knew the heart. He knew the thoughts, but he was bringing to an expected end. They were getting ready to go down to that road of unforgiveness, that road of no return, but Jesus gave them a new way. Jesus gave them a way to travel. They were traveling down to get those ones who believed in this one called Jesus. And the Bible says that in verse 14, and when we were all falling to the earth, just like I did yesterday. I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads. In other words, it's like a bramble bush or a thorn bush. In other words, when you kick against it, something's going to happen. And that's what was happening. Saul and them were kicking against the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, who art thou, Lord? You know, it's amazing. As soon as he fell down off his horse, he already called him Lord. Some of you underneath the side of my voice, you've been riding on your high horse. You've been riding full gallop, and you haven't wanted to stop. You thought that you've been doing the will of God, but you haven't been doing the will of God. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but to him that are the ways of death. He was a man who was studying the word of God. He was a man that heard the word of God. But here was a man that was not doing the word of God. Here was a man who had not received yet forgiveness. Amen. He was on the way. God wanted to give it to him. Church tonight, God wants to give you here. But you know what? Some of you had to be knocked off in your high horse by the bright light of forgiveness that is shown round about you to bring you to a place. Some of you need to fall down on your knees, just like those. Hallelujah. And need to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. The first thing he did, it's time for you to rise up. I don't care what you've done tonight. I don't care how mournful you are tonight. I don't care how much you owe. You might owe $10,000. You might owe $56,000. You might owe millions of dollars. But there's one thing. There's a forgiveness that's coming down from heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you owe. Just like Brother and Sister Green, just like little Pastor, amen, and those that are called in, there's forgiveness tonight that will pay every debt you owe, but never get into the debt.
Yes.
To proclaim that which is of the Lord Jesus Christ is of the enemy tonight, church. That's why we're on broadcasting tonight. That's why we want to to direct you from that path and say that this road is closed. This road of unforgiveness is closed tonight. Amen. Amen. It's under destruction. That's not a way you want to go tonight. But amen. There's a way that's been opened up. And it's time to, just like he said to Saul, Apostle Paul, he said, rise and stand upon your feet. Church, it's time for you tonight to rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. This is a prophetic word to everyone I'm speaking to tonight. This is prophecy that was given to the Apostle Paul, but this is prophetic word going forth across these broadcasts right now to each and every one of you. He said, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ right now, this night, this hour, has appeared unto thee for this purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in that which I will appear unto thee. In other words, you need to know tonight, every one of you underneath the sound of my voice, that Jesus Christ is appearing unto you right now for this very purpose, that you may minister and witness the things that you've already seen and the things you haven't seen. The Bible says that I have not seen, the ear has not heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But yea, the Spirit searches, yea, the deep things of God. Some of you are getting ready to go into a realm, a deeper realm, that as you begin to see things, begin to see healings, miracles, faith, wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, all manners of tongues, interpretation of tongues, interpretation of dreams, these hovers of doubt. You're getting ready to see things that you've never seen before, and you're going to minister and witness unto the world. And of these things which I will appear unto, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Here's the reason why he's doing this: to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. What light? The light that shines right in the light of forgiveness tonight, church. There are those that are riding in darkness, walking in darkness. And from the power of Satan to God. You know, that person there was blind and dumb. He could not speak. And he was possessed of the devil. But you know what? If you don't know this gospel of Jesus Christ, if you don't know of this forgiveness tonight, you are blind. And you cannot speak. And you are, amen, you need to have the possession of the Holy Ghost tonight. You need to be baptized, every one of you. Hallelujah. Underneath the sound of my word. You need to be baptized in the Spirit and in water. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the Spirit of God tonight. Every one of
Amen.
You. From the power of Satan and the God, that he may, that ye may, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them, which is sanctified by faith that is in me. You have an inheritance tonight. It's his forgiveness. You have an inheritance tonight. It's sanctified. It's cleansed by your faith in him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Will you get this word of God in your life tonight to bring you
Amen.
To the expected end? And, Brother Lord, I'm going to ask you to pray after I'm finishing up right now. But tonight, will you come to that expected end in Jesus Christ and receive his forgiveness? There's only one way, through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, let's all just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to them, God. Lord, them that's lost, the Father that needs you, Lord, as a personal Savior. Lord, we just bring them to you, God, right now and place them at the foot of the cross, God. We're asking you, Lord Jesus, that you would deal with them, God, that you will save them, Father. We know, Lord Jesus, that if they open their hearts up and open up the doors, God, that you will take them in, Father. And, Lord, that you will come in and you will suffer them. And, Lord, that they can have eternal life. And, Father, we know that you're willing. God, you said it wasn't your will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And, Lord, that's the reason of this broadcast. God, just get the people, Father, to repent of their sins, Lord. Get them, God, turn to you, Father. And, Lord, look to you, the author and the finisher of their faith, Lord. We give you the praise for an honor, Father, right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Heal them that are sick and afflicted, God. Lord, make them whole, Father. And, Lord, them that lost their loved ones, Father, we pray for them, God, that you would just touch them. God, touch them. families, God. And Lord, just to move up on them, God, and give them the peace, God, that passes all understanding, Lord. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you touch Brother John's hand, God, Lord, just completely heal it, Father, make it whole. And Lord, we give you the praise for it. And God, we ask you, Lord, to touch Betty's arm, God, and heal her, Father. Make her whole, God. And Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Bobby?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there. You've been sitting real quiet there.
Well, I was enjoying all this. I'd like to hear these good testimonies and talking about my Lord. Amen. He done so much for me. And I've done so little for him. But he's an almighty God. He's a God of power, God of healing, God of saving. And the greatest miracle to see a soul saved. And I appreciate what you said about the church services there in Ohio that yet living saved. That's last Sunday morning. That's the greatest miracle there is, seeing somebody saved. And I know that God's a healer. And I was hoping my buddy would come in there tonight because he was a dead man, and God brought him back and healed him and set him up. Amen. You know, he's still in a miracle-working business. And he said in the last days he'd pour his spirit out upon his people, and he's doing it. We're seeing God move in a mightier way than I've ever seen him move in my life. And I know I'm going to see more miracles because we're walking in the last days. We don't have much time. And the brother's talking about work while it's light. We better while it's light because the Lord's coming, can't work anymore. And if we're going to do anything, we better do it. Amen. And we're seeing people do it. We're seeing them come out. And I praise God for that. I thank the Lord for these pastors that still hold this bloodstained banner up. Don't compromise. You know, you can't pat a man on the back and tell him he's all right to come to your church and pay his tithes. Paying tithes is good and well, and you need to, but that's not going to save you. What's going to save you is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I done that about 50 years ago, and I've not regretted a minute of it. Amen.
Amen.
I praise God that he saw fit to save me from the devil's hell because I was headed to hell 90 miles an hour. But he brought me out, and I praise God for it. And I love him with all my heart. And that brother's right about the two commandments. Amen. You got to love God with all your mind, body, and soul. And then you got to love your neighbor, as you said. And, you know, I love old Bobby. And if I love my neighbor, Bobby, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to help him. And I thank the Lord that he gave me that love. And it ain't me. If you see anything good come out of me, it's Jesus Christ. It ain't Bobby Petty. And I thank the Lord for you, Brother Lord, that what you're doing, maybe somebody will be saved, touched, or blessed, and uplifted. And somebody may be thinking about suicide and hear this program, and that they change their mind. And, I pray for people that's in that condition. I don't know why in the world anybody would want to do it, but they do it every day. You read about it in the paper, see it on television, hear it on radio. And the old devil's out there to tear down, destroy everything that God tries to build up. But I praise God that the Bible says greater is in you than he's in the world. So we got power over the old devil. Amen. We don't have to listen to him. We don't have to obey him. And I praise God for you and all the preachers that's in this and talking and lifting up the Lord Jesus. And remember our church services. We have service on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Sunday night 6 o'clock, Wednesday night 6:30, Bible study. And it's on Monroe Street, Sweetwater, Tennessee. Go right up off of Highway 11, turn left at the red light there at Ace Hardware. Go by the police station, the Baptist, First Baptist. Go on over the hill, go down the hill, and it's the first church on the right. And we want to invite everybody to come, and we try to make you welcome. We don't want to shun anybody. We had a good service Sunday with the Hispanics. We had a good Easter service and had a play. and it was real good. And it really come out showing the crucifixion and Jesus on the cross, and then him arising. Amen. He went to that tomb, stayed 3 days and three nights, but he's not there anymore. He's alive. And I praise God, my God is alive and well. Nothing wrong with him. He's on the job 24/7. We can go to him anytime. Sometimes we go to our pastor and can't get him. Sometimes go to our neighbor and can't get him. But Jesus is always there. He's a friend sticketh closer than a brother. And I love him with all my heart. And I praise God for what he's done for me and what he'll do for anybody else. He's no respecter of person. God bless you, Brother George.
Amen. Appreciate that. We got a 423-351 come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Okay, my name is Larry Broblin, and I'm from Sweetwater, Tennessee. And
amen. Praise the Lord.
I just wanted to tell you a little about how awesome our God is and what he's done for me.
Amen.
On February the 13th, I'd went in to have a artery blockage cleaned out, an artery in my leg. Well, they messed up a little bit, and somehow they cut the artery, and I was internal bleeding. And the Park West Hospital called my daughter, said, "You know your daddy's up here at Park West." He said, "Yeah, he went in today." She said, "Well," said, "I hate to, you know, bear bad news, but he passed away." And they did everything except sign a death certificate. But she went up there at the hospital, and I was on the ventilator, and they wanted her to, you know, take me off, so they wouldn't, you know, I was quick breathing for 12 minutes, and they was doing CPR for 12 minutes, and they called her back, told her they had a heartbeat, but I wasn't breathing. But when she got there, she wouldn't let them take me off the ventilator. Because she know I turn everything over to the Lord. If it's my time to go, I'll go on a ventilator. And, but, you know, Jesus, Bob said, you know, he's with us all the time. He was right there with me on that ventilator.
Yes, he was.
Normally they'll have you, after 14 days, they take you off the ventilator, one of the doctors, after 14 days, wanted to take me off, but a lung doctor said, "Well, he's breathing a little bit over the lung machine," and said, "There's no need to take him off." Well, that 16th day, I started breathing on my own. And then I was in that hospital for 36 days. I weighed 155 pounds, but when they put me on that ventilator, I got 210 pounds. But, you know, it wasn't my time to go. So the Lord brought me through it. And, of course, well, I aspirated on that while I was on the ventilator, and it filled my lungs, and it just messed up my lungs. And that lung doctor said he's never seen anybody aspirate on a ventilator and live. But I tell you, when you got Jesus in your heart, you're going to live.
Amen.
And he pulled me through it. You know, I had to go to the rehab center, nursing home, and learn how to walk again. But I'm getting stronger every day.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm praying that I can get back in church next Sunday. It might be a little too soon, but I'm going, you know, I'm asking the Lord to help me because I want to get back in church. But the Lord, the Lord tells you when your time is. The doctors don't know.
That's right.
Amen.
And while I was on that ventilator, you know, I went into heaven. but I didn't see any pearly gates or anything because it wasn't my time to go in.
Amen.
I was just cast back, like out in the outer darkness. And it seemed like he's, you know, that same trail that Satan took when he was cast out.
Yeah.
Jesus hollered at him at me and said, "Catch." And it was a ball of light about the size of maybe of a basketball coming at me. And I caught it. He said, "Keep this and live." And, of course, you know, when God's word, he said, we got to keep his word, but that don't mean we keep it to ourselves. We got to share it. So
amen.
I got to share that light. So,
amen, brother.
Keep in your prayers, because we got an awesome God up there.
Amen.
Yes, we have. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that testimony. Is that the one, Brother Bobby, you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that testimony. And there's people around the world are glad to hear that, too. And
amen.
God is still God. He's still on the throne.
That's
He's
right.
still raising them up if they just only believe. I'm going to go to Tim, let him sing a song here, and the Branham family, I'm going to let them sing a song there also, and then I'll come back with some word there.
Okay, thanks for your time.
Stay in there, don't leave.
Okay.
I've got to get up, get out, get about God's business. They're sold out, I'm sold out, determined come what may. I've got to tell someone who hasn't heard. Gotta do my part to spread the word. Gotta get up, get out, get about God's business today. I'm happy in the Lord, as anyone can be. He filled me with his spirit and keeps on blessing me. Whoa, look at what the Lord has done. Turn my life around. With this much joy inside of me, how can I just sit down? I've got to get up, get out, get about God's business. They're sold out, I'm sold out, determined come what may. I'm going to tell someone who hasn't heard. Got to do my part to spread the word. Got to get up, get out, get about God's business today. Can I get a witness of what the Lord has done? Has anybody in this place been walked by the blood? Oh, if he's done a work in you, don't sit there on the shelf. You got to tell somebody. You can't keep to yourself. I've got to get up, get out, get about God's business. There's no doubt, I'm sold out, determined come what may. I'm gonna tell someone who hasn't heard. Gotta do my part to spread the word. Gotta get up, get out, get about God's business today. You gotta put feet to your face, your hand to the plow. You've got to make a difference in the here and now.
And I am not.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful singing. Appreciate Brother Tim Dockery singing.
Amen.
Brother Ronnie Branham and them singing. The Branham family. So we just appreciate them. We love them and love to be in services with them. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 6:14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. You know, praise God, just to studying on them right there and just to thinking about them. You know, there's too many people today says, I can forgive, but I can't forget. But, you know, thank God, Jesus Christ, he forgived and he forgot. And, he put in our sins as far as from east to the west from us to never be remembered against us again. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. But praise God, you know, we're going to have to be like him. If we're a Christian, the word Christian means to be Christ-like. And we've got to forgive and to forget if we want to make heaven our home. And I tell you, it's too many today saying, well, I never forget them for what they've done to me. But, my friend, I'm going to tell you, you better forget them for what they've done to you. And you better forgive them and get things under the blood if you want your Heavenly Father to forgive you. I tell you, there's a forgiveness out there in the land today that God has his power to forgive us if we're willing to forgive them. Look into Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. And, you know, praise God. You know, Jesus forgived us, yet while we were still sinners, he loved us enough that he was willing to go to the cross. And he was when he was hanging there on the cross, just before he said, it's finished, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you what today, my friend, God is looking for people that have a forgiven heart. He's looking for people that has a heart to forgive us and to forgive. You know, as Brother John was mentioning there a while ago about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Now, that could be blaspheming the Holy Ghost. If you not forgive, how can your Heavenly Father forgive you? But praise God, if you're forgiven and you forgive them, God will bless you. I believe He can bless you 100-fold if you will have a heart to just be able to just put everything in the sea of forgetful, just like Christ did. Look into Luke, praise God, the 6th chapter, and verse 27. It says, "But as I say unto you, which heareth, love your enemy, do good to them which hate you." You know, praise God, hallelujah. That's one of the hardest things that a man can do. You know, I know by experience. I had him one time. I had a man to go off one time and to tell a bunch of tales on me and hurt me. But, you know, praise God, whenever he did, I met up with him again, and I told him, I said, look, I said, I want you to know that I know that you told all these things, and they wasn't true, but I said, I'm going to tell you, I said, I put my arm around his neck, I told him, I said, I want you to know one thing, I love you, I want you to know in the Lord's eyes, I said, I love you, I said, I want you to know something, it don't matter how cold that it gets, or how dark it may get, or how hot it may get. It don't matter what time, day or night. I said, if you ever need any help, I want you to come and tell me. Don't go and tell nobody else. And when I told him that, the man stood there and wept and cried like a baby. But I had a heart, not because of just Lord Yearwood in the flesh, but because of God, because His Spirit was dwelling down in my temple. It gave me a heart that I was able to forgive him, and God forgave me. And that's what He's wanting to do to each and every one of us. I tell you what, let's look into Acts 7th chapter and verse 59. It says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." You know, that's what Stephen was saying. Lord, just receive my spirit. Praise God. And right here in verse 60, it says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." You know, praise God, that's what Stephen's done there. Praise God. And he was willing to forgive all of them as they were stoning him to death. As Paul was standing there, Saul was standing there holding the young man's jacket. Praise God. He was standing there. And I tell you what, God forgave him. And I don't believe that they had any charge laid to him because Stephen was willing to ask the Lord to forgive him. And I tell you what, to forgive him. And right here in Psalms 86 and 5, it says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenish in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." You know, praise God, of the Lord, all that will call upon him, he's ready to forgive and he's ready to plenish. He's ready to take care of us. My friend, I just think about Stephen. Hallelujah. He was being stoned to death for the gospel's sake. And that's what's liable to happen to some of us. This is happening around the world. In some of the other countries, people are being stoned to death for the gospel. And I believe the Lord is still upholding them, just like he did Stephen. I believe the Lord is still saying, just come on in. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rulers over many things. There's people out there today around this globe, around this world, as you're hearing this gospel, that is having to hide to hear it. There's people today, if they're caught worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're worshiping him, they're stoned to death or have their heads cut off or having some other way to be tortured. But thank God, God is still God. He still loves them. He still forgives. And he's still holding them people up highly. I believe tonight, my friend, if there's people out there in the sound of our voice, if you heard this word, and if you're willing to forgive, God is willing to forgive you. God is willing. He's willing to accept your apology, and he's willing to say, yes, hallelujah. I'm going to forgive you because you forgive that one. As I believe Brother Green was talking there a while ago about them having money there and casting that in jail because he didn't have the money to pay his bill at that time. I praise God, but God was still willing to forgive him because that prophet was willing to go and ask the other one. He said, forgive him. Forgive me this debt. And praise God, that one forgave him. And he went on down the road to another one. And he said, forgive me. And that guy said, no, if you don't pay me all, I'm going to cast you into prison. And that's what he done. But praise God, God had to deal with him. I tell you what, tonight, my friend, if God is dealing with us on something, we need to be willing to forgive. I thank God, hallelujah, that we have the heart of God. If we're a true born-again believer, we've got the heart of God to forgive our trespasses and forgive those that trespass against us. I tell you what, it's a time that people realize that they are forgiven God. Hallelujah. Look here again in Matthew 6:14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Praise God. That's something important tonight to know that our heavenly Father is willing to forgive us if we will forgive them that sinned against us, them that is trespassed against us, them that has wronged us. If we will have that heart of forgiveness, God will forgive us. But if we don't, we're in trouble. I look into Ephesians again, into 4:32. Hallelujah. I feel this tonight. I feel the Spirit of God. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgived you. Hallelujah. Even as God has forgiven us, we need to be willing to forgive others. And, you know, I praise God tonight. I just praise him tonight for this broadcast and for the things that God is doing around this world and across the nations. I tell you, I just praise God, and I thank God for that brother that's over in the Philippines, Don Antico. A brother that sung the first song there on our broadcast tonight. I tell you, I know we've got about 10 minutes left, and I think I will get him to sing another one. And just remember him. He's a great songwriter and a minister over there in that country. We got acquainted with him a few years ago on our internet services, and he's been a blessing to us with songs and things. And so whenever Tim get him back up for a while, we'll let him sing this other song for us. And Brother John, what we're getting him up for, come back in there and tell us about your church. Brother John?
Yeah, Brother.
Go ahead and tell us about your church there.
Okay. We're in Thomaston, Georgia, 70 miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. We're here on Main Street, right downtown Thomaston, Georgia. And we have our midweek services on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Our Sunday morning services, we have Sunday school at 10. Regular church service in the morning at 11. Then we have Sunday evening services at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. And we're having some other services. We're going down to Butler, Georgia, one day out the third Saturday of the month, and we're also being involved in some other services. So God's blessing, and we'd just like for any of you that are in the area to come in and be a part of the family. Amen. We just want to invite you, and we just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to speak the word of God to all the world, and we just thank the Lord for everything he's doing in our lives.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to let John Antico, I can't even say his name, but sing this song here. He just sung it there a while ago. Okay, he's got another one up in. So we're just going to let him go ahead and sing this song. Come in there and obey the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. I don't believe they're hearing me. So, anyway, we've really appreciate everybody calling in and being a part of this service tonight, and just thank God for it. And so,
God.
Go ahead there, Sister Green. Obey the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Our phones just may lose its battery here, Brother Yearwood, but we sure enjoyed the broadcast. And if I can say anything to, or we've said anything to encourage someone to give their heart to God, that's what it's all about, is forgiveness. He shed his blood on the cross and paid our wages, mine and your wages, that you could be saved and be forgiven, to reconcile man, woman, back to God. And that's what this is all about. And then after you've received his forgiveness, then you're to go and tell it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and that completes your salvation. And then after that, it goes on further, and then we can receive, we go through a sanctification to live right, live real good for the Lord. Anything I tell my kids when they were growing up, anything that you don't know, if it's right or wrong, if you think it's wrong, just don't do it. That's the advice that I give to you tonight. If you think it's wrong, just don't do it. And then you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's for you, it's for your children, it's for many as far off, is what Acts chapter 2 talks about. So we are them that are many as far off. And God said it, I must go away expediently. That I pray the Father that he'll send you the Comforter. And praise God, it is for us. And we receive that baptism. And what's the baptism of the Holy Ghost of evidence of speaking in tongues? It's the power to be a witness. For who? For Jesus Christ. And like Brother John said, he said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Little Stephanie sang earlier, she said, he set me free. And praise
Amen.
God, we're not in that prison of bondage anymore, because we have forgiven, we've been forgiven, and he has set us free. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Brother Larry?
Yes.
You got anything else you'd like to say there? We've got about 10 or 12 seconds there left.
Well, I've still got a long way to go, but I'm getting there, and I have prayers going out all over the world, and that's what brought me through it, you know.
Amen. Yeah, we put you on the Miracle Valley prayer line there.
I want to thank everybody for their prayers. What I tell, you know, all my kids and everything, don't go around telling about all your troubles. You know, just tell people what an awesome God you got. And he'll take care of your troubles.
Amen. Okay, our time's up. We appreciate you calling in, so call back next week, Aaron. Get in here with us.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. Okay. Bye.